Press Radio, episode 22 of the Sapp and Cat Show. John Sappicetti, along with Cat Cornett. And Cat, our two teams are going to be playing on Championship Sunday, Conference Championship Sunday. Your Buffalo Bills travel to Kansas City, 6:40 kickoff to take on the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. My Packers will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3:05. So we got our wish that both of our teams are in the conference championship games. Our wish is that they win on Sunday. The Packers are 3.5-point favorites over Tampa. Right now, Kansas City's a 3-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills, with the question mark whether or not Patrick Mahomes is going to play. He was concussed on Sunday in the Chiefs' victory over Cleveland. Now, the thing about that is, before we start to look at our two games, the one thing Jay Glazer from Fox pointed out on Sunday and throughout the week, and he's into MMA, he's involved in that business, he thinks that Mahomes wasn't necessarily concussed but choked out. Because if you see the hit, the defender gets their arm wrapped around his neck, and it kind of choked him out for a split second, which means the blood doesn't go to the brain for a split second, and that's a similar effect of being kind of like knocked out. So I would assume Patrick Mahomes is going to play on Sunday without question. They'll get him through concussion protocol, even if he had a concussion or didn't, whatever the case may be. He's going to be out there on Sunday. But this is the first time the Bills have been in a conference championship game in 27 years. So you were in middle school the last time they were in a conference championship game?
Yes. It was 93, correct?
Right.
93, yep. Season.
Ironically, they beat the Chiefs in Buffalo.
Yes.
Against Joe Montana.
The 93 season, I was going into sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Was I in sixth grade?
Because it was 93. The game was played in January of 94. So whatever that is.
I was in sixth grade. Yes. And my little brother, my youngest sibling, wasn't even born yet.
Well, about 27 years ago, yeah. And then later that day, I believe the Cowboys beat Steve Young and the 49ers in the NFC Championship
exactly.
game. So you seem to screw up one of these dream matchups, right? Because the Bills got to the Super Bowl, and then later that afternoon it was the Cowboys and not the 49ers. So I think you've jinxed me. Somehow the Bills are going to win on Sunday and the Packers are going to lose, and you know, I may not watch the Super Bowl if it's Bills and Buccaneers. Of course, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. Then I'll root for Buffalo, because I don't want to see Tom Brady win his 7th Super Bowl, go to his 10th Super Bowl. Look, I respect the hell out of him. He's the greatest quarterback ever. But, you know, let someone else win once in a while, Tom. Like Aaron Rodgers looking for a 2nd Super Bowl. That would be pretty cool. But the Bills, I don't think they were overly impressive against Baltimore in their divisional round win. Their defense was, you know, the game turned on a pick 6. Baltimore looked like they were going in to tie the game up late in the third quarter, and yada, yada, yada. It was 17-3 Buffalo with the pick 6. Offensively, they just abandoned the running game, and it was a tough night to play. It was very windy in Buffalo, et cetera. So I don't think they were overly impressive, but they showed that they could win a different type of game. They've been putting up all sorts of points the last 2 months, and to win a 17-3 game shows that they have multiple ways to win games.
It was very heartening to see the Bills' defense do well after a couple of weeks of having a lot to worry about them. And so they really seem to turn it around, and I think they can build on the confidence from the Ravens game. They are going to need all the confidence and all of the, you know, to be spot on against the Chiefs on Sunday night. I doubt Patrick Mahomes wouldn't play. Mm-hmm. I think even if it's not prudent for him to play, he will be out there. And I think the Bills defense is going to have to bring their A game and see what happens. That's what they're going to have any chance against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and the thing with Mahomes, no lead is safe. Right? We saw that he came back from double-digit deficits to win all three of his playoff games last year. And I thought Kansas City's offense looked really good till Mahomes got hurt. They were up 19-3, and you know they were scoring on just about every drive. They've missed a field goal and an extra point, but they looked really good in the first 2.5 quarters until Mahomes went out, and then they just kind of held on for dear life with Chad Henne. Kansas City's offense looked pretty sharp on Sunday, and that's going to present challenges for Buffalo's defense. Buffalo not having a running game, I think, is going to come back to haunt them. Because you have to have some balance in the playoffs. I'm not saying you have to, you know, have 35 carries. for 140 yards, you know, 4 yards a carry and pound and ground. You don't need that, but you need to have some ability to run and say third and two or third and one, and also to set up some play action and take a little pressure off your quarterback. That's going to be a tough thing for Buffalo. If they can run the ball somewhat just to balance the offense, then I think we're going to be looking at a terrific game between those two great young quarterbacks. I mean, Mahomes is 24, and Josh Allen's Mahomes is 25, Josh Allen is 24. That's 49 years combined. Tom Brady's 43. So that's always interesting to throw all these crazy numbers about Tom Brady. But, yeah, I think Kansas City has a slight edge. They're at home. They had played earlier in the year in Buffalo, and the Chiefs won. It was on a Monday night game, which was rescheduled from Sunday to Monday, if you remember, because of COVID. And the Chiefs really ran the ball right down the Bills' throat. But that was inclement weather. It should be better in Kansas City, maybe not as windy as it was that night. There may be some rain in the forecast in Kansas City for Sunday's game. So, you know, you got two big strong-arm quarterbacks. They can drive that ball through the wind and rain. So I don't think it's going to impact them a heck of a lot. But, yeah, this is going to be a tough one. You know, Buffalo's a Hail Mary away from, what, a 12-game winning streak? I mean, that's how well they've played. In Kansas City, with Patrick Mahomes in their lineup, has lost like once in the last year and a half, and that was to the Raiders. So this ought to be good. And this may not be the first time we see Mahomes and Allen meeting in the playoffs, right? Because these two teams seem like they're built for the long haul and they've got their quarterback solved.
Yes. And I think, you know, the one thing that Bills fans can hang on to is that I think the goal for this year was to get to the divisional round. Mm-hmm. I think they all recognize that the run game needs help. They've only got Singletary, and that's, you know, right now, and that's basically their number one back that they're relying on, and they need to work on that piece in the offseason. And so to get to the divisional round and win, I think that's icing on the cake. You know, to be in the AFC championship game is beyond where they thought they would be this season. And so, you know, it does not look good for the Bills on Sunday night, but they're ahead of schedule. And I think that's got to be, and you've got a group of guys that really want to play in Buffalo and really want to send a message and are really bought in to what Sean McDermott is doing. And so I think next year, yeah, you know, we can go into the playoffs and say, you know, the Bills should win a divisional round. The Bills should be in the AFC championship game. But just to be there this season should be something they're immensely proud of.
Yeah, the thing is, while you're there, you might as well win, though, right? I mean, you've got a team that's played really well, and you never know if you're going to get back there. I mean, we could talk about, hey, we're going to see Mahomes and Allen meet, you know, three out of the next 5 years in the AFC championship game. It doesn't always end that way. And I always go back to Dan Marino, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. You know, second year in the league, he set all sort of passing records, lost to the 49ers in the Super Bowl. And you just assume that Dan Marino was going to get back to a Super Bowl and win one. He never got back to a Super Bowl. The next year, he lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, lost a couple of other times in the AFC Championship game, once to the Bills in 92. Never got back to the Super Bowl. He's an all-time great quarterback. So I think once you get to this point, and you got to go for it, because when you look at Josh Allen, he's in the third year in the league. So at some point within a year or two, they're going to have to ink him to a long-term deal, you know, $35, $40 million a year. Now, that will impact the rest of your roster. They're in the sweet spot right now, even for next year, where they can still afford to pay players, and you still have Josh Allen on that rookie contract, so you can put a lot of nice pieces around him. I think they have a chance to win Sunday, absolutely. But Kansas City's the champs. Kansas City, the last 2 months, has looked shaky. I mean, a lot of their games come right down to the wire. They haven't covered the spread in 8 straight games. You know, at some point they're playing with fire. Yes, they have Patrick Mahomes. He's awesome. They tend to pull these games out, or they have a 4-point lead with the ball with 4 minutes left, and they run out the clock because they have Patrick Mahomes. And last week they had Chad Henne, who came up with a big run to set up a 4th and short, and then the pass to Tyreek Hill to ice the game. So I think this is going to be certainly an interesting game. Buffalo at some point, you know, is going to just have to match points with them. If they're kicking field goals and Kansas City's scoring touchdowns, it's going to be a long night. That's what you have to do to beat Kansas City. You can talk about, let's run the ball, kill the clock, play defense. That just doesn't work against Kansas City. You've got to put points on the board and outscore them. And I think that's really the route to happen. But you do think that Buffalo's playing with house money in this situation. More pressure on Kansas City. They're supposed to win. They're home. They're the defending champs. you know, everybody's coming after them. So maybe Buffalo goes in there and continues to play kind of loose like they do, because they seem to be a fun group. And maybe they pull off the upset. It's only a 3-point spread. So Vegas is thinking that, you know, Buffalo has a chance here.
It will definitely be a great game. And I hope that it's a great game. And I think that the one thing that stands out to me, and I was talking to my husband about it, you know, although it's going to be a great game, shouldn't it be the Bucks-Packers game in that 6 o'clock window? Like, I feel like NFL executives are thinking, man, I wish this was the year for the NFC right. game to be in that evening primetime window, because although, you know, there is a small possibility that Bills Chiefs is a complete blowout in the favor of the Chiefs. So, you know, you really, you'd love to see Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady. That, I mean, it almost feels like those years where in the early 90s where the NFC championship game might be better than the Super Bowl. And right. I really feel like after what we saw last week between the Bucks and the Saints, I feel like Packers Bucks could be really better than any Super Bowl we get.
Yeah, they just alternated every year, right? So this year the NFC has the 3 o'clock game, the AFC has the 6:40 game, and they'll just flip it next year. They do that, I guess, for scheduling. For, you know, CBS is going to be doing the night game and Fox will be doing the early game. Yeah, I mean, the bigger game that we're all talking about is Brady Rodgers. Like last week, the marquee game was Brady against Brees, and it kind of disappointing because, quite frankly, Drew Brees is not at the same level as Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. I never thought of him in the same realm as those two quarterbacks, but Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, especially when I pare it down to the Super Bowl era. Rodgers, I have, is the fifth greatest quarterback of the Super Bowl era. And look, if he wins a Super Bowl this time around, he can make the argument that he moves up to number three. He's on a similar level with Peyton Manning and John Elway. I put them as third level quarterbacks. That's not disparaging. Brady's on a level unto himself. Below him is Joe Montana, a level unto himself. And then I put Manning, Elway, Rodgers, especially if he wins a second Super Bowl, will be on that third level. Steve Young's in the next level, a little below those guys. He didn't have as long a career as them, didn't put up the raw numbers. I mean, for his 9 or 10 years as a starting quarterback, he was arguably the best quarterback in football for a decade. So he's a little bit below those guys. He also has a Super Bowl. That second Super Bowl does elevate you when you're comparing all-time greats. The game is going to be on CBS, the Kansas City-Buffalo game. So, you know, get to enjoy Tony Romo screeching for 3 hours. The end of the Kansas City-Cleveland game on Sunday, he sounded like a high school kid doing, you know, a high school football game on public access. He was just out of control. He went spastic. He was screaming. No real analysis, just sounded like he maybe had money on Kansas City with the money line, because Kansas City was nearly a double-digit favorite, so they weren't going to cover. But he was so ecstatic that Kansas City won. And look, his first year, I liked him. And every year he's gotten worse. And now he's making $17.5 million a year. He makes essentially $1 million a game. I don't think he does his homework like he used to. He doesn't even shave. And I know that's the look. Doesn't even look like he showers. His hair's messy. But I just don't get the infatuation with Tony Romo. And at this point, you know, he was just absolutely just screeching at the end of that game, to the point where I'm like, dude, what's up? You know, take some pills. Do whatever you need to do to calm down. Because it's not comfortable to listen to. I want someone kind of explaining the situations and what's going through the coach's head and what's going through the player's head. Again, he was never really successful in the postseason, so maybe he doesn't have the institutional knowledge that, say, Troy Aikman has, who went to 3 Super Bowls and won them. And I think Aikman's a much better analyst, and he's not afraid to criticize quarterbacks, whereas Romo, it's never the quarterback's fault. So
yes.
Get ready for Tony Romo and Jim Nance on Sunday for the Bills and Chiefs. I think Fox is the better broadcast duo with Troy Aikman and, of course, Joe Buck. You mentioned something about Troy Aikman talking about concussions, and we know in the 90s, your favorite quarterback, Steve Young, dealt with concussions. Troy Aikman dealt with concussions. They didn't have systems in place like they have now. There wasn't really a concussion protocol like we have now in the NFL, which is unfortunate. In fact, they didn't even use the term concussion back then. They would say the player was dinged up. Like, that concussion is a bruise to the brain. That sounds scary enough already. But what did Aikman have to say this week talking about, you know, one of the NFC Championship games he played in where he clearly doesn't remember it.
Yes, Troy Aikman was on the Dan Patrick Show, and one thing that really stands out to me about Troy Aikman recently is just how open and how critical and how honest he has been. And he spoke to Dan Patrick about the NFC Championship game he doesn't remember even playing in because he was concussed and went to the hospital after, and then 7 days later had to go play in the Super Bowl because this was before there was a 2-week wait. So he, there's no protocol, as you said, and he said he went back later, a couple of years later, and watched the game, and he said it was very surreal to watch the game and have and see himself playing, but not remember a single second of it. And he offered that up to talk about Patrick Mahomes and if Patrick Mahomes truly is concussed, which, you know, there is some debate about, or if he has neck damage, you know, nerve damage in his neck, should he even be playing? What's the, you know, of course he's going to play no matter what, but long term, you know, it weirds you out. Troy Aikman talked about how it's very unsettling for him to think no one, you know, no one took me out of this game. No one, they kept me in and I just was on autopilot and somehow I made it work, but how? And he said, you know, we really hope Mahomes is doing the best thing for himself. So I totally recommend anyone go to YouTube and find it. I think, you know, it, just as much as Tony Romo with Jim Nantz has gotten a little out of control, lack of preparation, as he calls games, because he was so applauded for being so enthusiastic early on in his career, Troy Aikman has become less monotone and more truthful and not afraid to criticize. And so it feels like watching or listening to a little kid against someone with a great deal of experience. And I think Troy Aikman's, I look forward to Sunday night's game to hear him commentate, but also just, you know, to hear him throughout the weeks leading up to these games talk about an honest view of what he sees and what he wished would had happened during his own career.
And I think those two quarterbacks are analysts the way they were quarterbacks, right? Tony Romo was kind of a freelancer, played a little bit loose, played more on feel, a la Brett Favre, because that was his idol growing up. He grew up in Wisconsin, and Brett Favre was his idol, kind of played it loose. Troy Aikman was buttoned up. Like, he was the ultimate football scholar. He comes from the same mold of Tom Brady, like, you know, pre-snap, knowing exactly what the defense is doing, great leader, not afraid to get in the face of his players. You know, if the wide receiver was supposed to run the route at 12 yards and they ran it at 11 yards, he was on them, whether it was Michael Irvin or anyone else, ultimate leader in Troy Aikman. And you see that as an analyst, he's more buttoned up and prepared than Tony Romo. So, you know, you usually are what you are, right? Tony Romo. Look, I don't dislike the guy. I just don't think he's a very good analyst. I think he was slightly overrated as a quarterback because he kind of played it loose. Whereas Troy Aikman, I always respected the hell out of Troy Aikman because he also, as a great leader, would kind of subvert himself in that offense. He had Troy Aikman. He had Michael Irvin. He had Alvin Harper. He had a great offensive line. He knew what he needed to do to win games, kind of like Tom Brady. And watching Tom Brady on Sunday against New Orleans, the four things that always stand out to me about Tom Brady that make him the greatest quarterback ever. First of all, his ability on quarterback sneaks is just incredible. Like, I know there's stats that show on fourth and one or any kind of 1 yard sneak, he's like at 90%. I don't remember the 10% where he failed on it. It must be they're including kneel downs at the end of the game, because every time he needs a yard, he gets it. He scored a touchdown Sunday against New Orleans on a quarterback sneak. He does it perfectly, gets the snap, just waits for a split second, and then finds the hole. Drew Bledsoe, who was a very good quarterback for the Patriots for a decade, actually ended up playing in Buffalo and in Dallas. Bigger, stronger guy than Brady, he never got the knack of a quarterback sneak. He would just get the snap and just pile into the butt of the center and never win anywhere. So Brady's the best at that. You notice when Brady throws to an end zone, when he's going to the back of the end zone, he's high with a throw. When he goes to the front of the end zone, he's low with a throw. That touchdown pass to Leonard Fournette, perfect example, low. He understands that if I miss, if I'm low in the front of the end zone, it's not going to get tipped and intercepted. Worst case scenario, it's incompletion. If I go high, deep in the end zone, it's not going to get picked. Worst case scenario, incompletion. And the other thing he does that I'm going to compare to, say, Bill Russell or LeBron James, his mind for the game, he reads the game better than anybody. Do you realize in 9 Super Bowls, Tom Brady has never led his team to a touchdown in 9 first quarters? That's amazing. But he reads the game. He feels it. He doesn't panic. He knows, okay, we need a couple of first downs here. Let's not push it. Maybe we have to punt and play field position for a little bit. He never forces it. And those four things, little things, right? That's more about your brain and your ability to study and process. That's what makes him so great. My guy Aaron Rodgers, I think, is more talented. I think everyone will agree with that. He nearly threw 2 picks at the end of the second quarter against the Rams. Deep in the end zone, he was going. I'm like, Aaron, you got to go a little deeper with that, because if you're going to throw an incompletion, let it go deeper into the end zone so you don't get picked off. It could have cost them 3 points. Brady doesn't do those things. And that's just little stuff that he does that make him the greatest quarterback of the Super Bowl era. So you're excited for Kansas City and Buffalo. Again, 6:40 kickoff on CBS, which, by the way, CBS is also carrying Super Bowl 55. So we get to put up with Tony Romo in the Super Bowl screaming and yelling. Which would be interesting if it's Green Bay in the Super Bowl, because he grew up a Packers fan. He's from Wisconsin, so that would be an interesting thing. Maybe I'll like him by that point, you know, if he's doing a Packers game. Packers, Tampa, I have a really good feeling about this game. The only thing that really holds me back is, do you realize, and here I am just throwing out all these crazy numbers about Tom Brady, he has played the presumptive MVP 8 times in the playoffs in that given year. You know, so whether it was 2003, Steve McNair and Peyton Manning were the co-MVPs. He beat them both in the playoffs. He's 7-1 in his career against that season's MVP in the postseason. He beat Kurt Warner in Super Bowl 36. He beat McNair and Manning, the co-MVPs, in 2003. You just go through the whole process. That scares the hell out of me. I think New Orleans is a better team than Tampa, with the exception of the quarterback. I feel really good about the Packers on Sunday, except my number 12 is the best quarterback in football this year. Tampa's number 12 scares the bleep out of me, because he's not going to give up. They'll be down 17 points in the fourth quarter. He's still coming. He's a sociopath. He really is. And that's what scares me. But I do feel really confident about this game, because I think Rodgers is in his zone. And I saw his weekly press conference that the Packers put out. I also heard him on Barstool. He is so relaxed right now. He almost feels like he's going back in the pocket with a glass of scotch in his left hand, and he's just flicking the ball to who's ever open. I feel confident about the Packers winning, except Tom Brady's on the other sideline. That scares the hell out of me.
It's going to be such an incredible game. Just an incredible game. I'm really looking forward to that NFC Championship game.
Especially much if more it's snowing.
I know.
That's the thing, is when your team's playing, you're all tense. I'm happy that the Packers, Tampa Bay, I wish they'd play this afternoon, but they're playing at 3:00, so I don't have to go through the whole process of waiting around, watching another game, and then my team comes on at 6:40. Now, if the Packers lose, of course I'm going to still watch the Bills and Chiefs, but I'm going to be in a sour mood. But I like the earlier game, because you just get it out of the way, and then you can watch the AFC Championship game and relax and say, okay, the Packers are playing one of these two teams. So hopefully that's the case. But that NFC Championship game should be great. I always thought Brady and Rodgers were going to meet in the Super Bowl at some point, right? 2010, the Packers won the Super Bowl. The Patriots were 14-2 that year, but they lost in the divisional round to the Jets. 2011, they were the number one seed in their respective conferences. The Patriots got to the Super Bowl. Green Bay lost in the divisional round to the Giants. And the year I was so confident was going to happen was 2014. Patriots get to the Super Bowl. Packers have a big lead against Seattle in the NFC Championship game. They blow it down the stretch. They couldn't handle an onside kick. If they just recovered their onside kick, they go to the Super Bowl. We had Brady Rodgers in that Super Bowl. It never happened. Now that Brady's in the NFC, there he is again in the way of, you know, other quarterbacks winning another championship. Just truly amazing. Here's the last tidbit on Tom Brady. Do you realize playing in this Sunday's game, he will have now played under 5 presidential administrations?
Oh my gosh.
That's how long he's been around, because in 2000, Bill Clinton was still president. He came into the game against the Detroit Lions Thanksgiving of 2000. Bill Clinton was president. Of course, he won 3 Super Bowls under President George W. Bush. He won a Super Bowl under President Obama, and he won 2 Super Bowls under President Donald Trump. And now Joe Biden is president. So Brady is playing football through 5 presidential administrations, and two of the presidents had 8-year terms. Clinton was at the end of his 8-year term. It's just, I mean, that's the one that blows my mind. That's like, holy crap. Like, I went out with a few friends the other night, and one of them, my friend Matt, went out with Chris and Matt. We went out, and I looked at Matt. I said, you were like 9 when Brady played in his first Super Bowl. He goes, yeah, I remember it. I think I was 9 or 10 years old. And now Matt's, you know, probably going to get married in a year, has a good job, buying a house, all that stuff. I'm like, that's scary. It's like, I mean, I'm old. So I was old then and I'm old now, but just like you were probably still in college, right? At the time.
I was first Super Bowl. His first Super Bowl.
February of 2002.
I had just transferred from one college to another.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it. I had no friends at my new college yet. And I just watched it on my bed in my dorm room. My roommate was under the influence of some substances and just listening to some like fish music and like dancing around the corner. So she's like dancing. You can't see this on the podcast. I'm not dancing. She was like looking at her hands in the sky as like Tom Brady.
What the hell was she on?
Oh,
I would like to
find
out.
She was on things. I have stories. If one day during the off season, let's dedicate a podcast to the stories with my crazy roommate, and not crazy in a bad way, but
interesting.
It was interesting and nothing I had been exposed to before in my life, because I was a goody two shoes. Wow. So anyway, so my memory of that first Super Bowl win for Tom Brady is my stoned out of her mind college roommate dancing in the corner of our room, like literally in the corner next to her bed with her hands in the air. Cause I was in upstate New York, so no one really cared about the Patriots winning. Mm-hmm. And she's like looking at her hands and like, oh, look at the light on my fingertips. And meanwhile, like Tom Brady, you know, and then Adam Vinatieri gets out and I'm like, you gotta turn down the music. Like, this is a big moment.
This is big,
and at the time was I dating a Patriots? No.
You were dating a Patriots player?
No, fan.
Oh, fan. I used to like,
well, but no, I was not dating
the first
him
I heard
at
of this.
Time.
Okay. But he was but someone you dated later was a Patriots fan?
Yes, but no. So no, I dated a couple of
Patriots
fans.
Well, there were actually, but there were never actually Patriot fans until they started winning. You realize that.
I actually, when I was in the first college I went to, I dated a guy who was an actual Patriots fan before mm-hmm. the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there weren't many of us back then.
No,
there weren't.
I was like,
until
you
all
like,
of a sudden,
they
come
don't
out of the
win anything. Like, I
oh,
was
yeah,
very
no.
like judgmental.
Yeah.
And yet, he still dated me. I don't understand. I was like, the Patriots don't do anything. I like the Bills.
Sometimes opposites attract, right?
Well, it didn't last. So it didn't. So
blame
but anyway,
Tom Brady for that one.
So I was the first time Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. I was a sophomore in college, and
that's
I am now
crazy.
39 years old. So.
And your former roommate is now the CEO of a major company, even though she was
she owned
as a kite that day.
She owns a T-shirt shop in the Hamptons.
Oh, not bad.
No, not bad at all. She kind of it all worked out for her. She didn't finish college. It was all good.
Yeah, sounds.
She's
good.
Probably still on who knows what.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, she's creative. She's an artiste. But yeah, that just shows you how long he's been around. You were a sophomore in college, and, you know, it was the first year of George W. Bush's presidency, but he did play during the Clinton administration because he got in that game against the Lions on Thanksgiving 2000 when Bill Clinton was still president. And actually, that was the period of time, because Thanksgiving 2000, we still didn't have Bush versus Gore decided, because that didn't get decided till December. So I don't want to stretch it and say that Bush was ever president, but if he was considered president-elect for a moment, then you can say he played in 6 presidential terms. But Bush Gore was never president. I want to stretch it. I mean, the truth is strange enough already with Brady. You don't need to stretch it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, five administrations. That's crazy. And again, two of them had eight-year terms. And the one that he first came into the league when was at the end of his eight-year term. So that's pretty amazing. I feel confident about the Packers winning on Sunday. Bills, Kansas City. I think Kansas City is going to be tough to beat. I almost get the feeling Kansas City's sitting on an explosive game because they really haven't had one in a while. So how many games can you keep them down? And I do worry, as much as I love Josh Allen, and again, I compared him to John Elway, which is a huge compliment. He's had a couple of moments in these playoffs where you're like, ugh, where, you know, ball security, which is something he has to continue to work on. We saw it against the Colts and against the Ravens where he nearly lost fumbles. Luckily for him, they were recovered by his own team. He's got to be careful with that, you know, because one turnover can flip the whole game around. We saw what happened in New Orleans. The Jared Cook fumble turned that game around because New Orleans was up 7 in the third quarter. Looked like they were going to go ahead and score again. So turnovers do determine these big games. So Josh Allen's going to have to, you know, ball security is going to be big in this game. So should be fun, though, right? From, you know, 3 o'clock till probably 10:30, we're going to be watching the four best teams in football and the four best quarterbacks in football. It's not a mystery that the four best quarterbacks statistically are still alive. Rodgers and Brady in the NFC, Allen and Mahomes in the AFC. The only other two quarterbacks that you could put in the discussion as the top quarterbacks in football this year would be Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. So those are your six best quarterbacks, and four of them are playing on Sunday. So it should be a fun Sunday of football, and we'll see what happens.
Yes, it should.
All right.
Good luck to the Packers.
Yes, and good luck to the Bills. And if they meet in the Super Bowl, we will speak.
It will be an epic 2-week wait if they are going to meet in the Super Bowl.
I'll probably need a straitjacket by kickoff in the Super Bowl at that point. You may need that as well. All right, so Kat Cornetta, follow her on Twitter at Kat Cornetta, KatCornetta. You can follow me at John Sapp 25. That's JohnSapp 25. You've been listening to the Sapp and Kat Show on Full Press Coverage, episode 22. Until next time, stay safe.